and the process of aging. We're not sure exactly what God designed in the beginning. We don't really know a whole lot of the human existence prior to the fall into sin. But with sin came death, and the slow, steady move toward death, which is that thing that is eventual for us all, unless the Lord returns. But it is also, for those who are believers and trusters in Jesus Christ, it is the doorway to eternal life. And so there is a mixed bag of thinking as we consider aging. It is moving us day by day closer to eternity with our Lord, but it is also day by day making us grapple with the fall and the curse and the process of aging, not only for ourselves, but that those are around us. The purpose overall tonight and tomorrow for this weekend is that we might bring to God a life of service and worship as we age, both to the Lord and to those who are around us. As our own days progress, may we deepen our worship and it not become less and less because life becomes more and more difficult in some areas. We'll have two sessions tonight. We'll have a quick break in between. There are restrooms right out the door and then down the ramp and to the left down the hall. We will have an opportunity for some questions as things are spurred in your mind or you would like clarification towards the end of tonight. But also primarily, you'll notice there's a card in the chair pocket in front of you. Those are have multiple uses. Tonight, their use is for you to take, flip it on the back, write out any particular questions you would like to have answered along these lines. And those will be a focus primarily for tomorrow. We'll answer some questions tonight, but we want this to be practical and helpful for where this group is, and not just in general. So that's what those cards are for. We'll have two sessions tomorrow. Tonight, the focus, as you can probably see on your outline there, is on the process of aging and the perspective physically, emotionally, relationally, spiritually, how the Scripture guides us in that process. And then tomorrow, a little gearing that towards how we take that perspective and put it into practice, especially as we think about caring for our loved ones, specifically our parents. Our speaker, our equipper in this process is Dr. Jim Stewart. Many of you know Jim. He has a Master's of Divinity from the Master Seminary and a Doctorate of Ministry in Biblical Counseling from Southern Seminary, and has invested the second half of his life in equipping the church in pastoral ministry and counseling, both here in the Tulsa area as well as Cape Cod area of Massachusetts. We've asked Jim to come here not only because of his pastoral experience, but also because of his experience in caring for his own parents and parents-in-law. And Jim actually taught a seminar, very similar to this, 7 years ago. And in talking with Jim about redoing a seminar like this, he said, "Oh, I would redo that seminar." So we're going to be gaining a lot from, especially when you teach something, when you study through the Scriptures, when you have the opportunity to say, this is what God's Word says, and then you have the opportunity to practice that, then real wisdom develops. So I'm just so thankful that the Lord's provided Jim to come back, and thankful to him for doing that. I just want to begin tonight with a sense of worship. I want to cut into just a few minutes of Jim's time and just make sure that we have a perspective and a mind and a heart right. I want to read for you a song written by an old man. Turn with me, if you have your Bible, to Psalm 37. This is not only a song by an old man, it's a song by an old worshiper. It's actually a song by an old worship leader, King David himself. He wrote this psalm when he was old, looking out at life and reminding himself of a proper perspective and expressing his worship to the Lord in light of that. So I thought this would be a good place for us to start tonight. Let me just read verse 23 to 26, and then I'm going to skip down to verse 34 and read through the end. Follow along with me here and think in this term, in the terms of an expression of an old man, an old worshiper. Verse 23 of Psalm 37, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing." Verse 34, "Wait for the Lord. Keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked, violent man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil. Then he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man. Behold the upright, for the man of peace will have a posterity, but transgressors will altogether be destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in a time of trouble. The Lord helps them, delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him." May we gain that kind of perspective this weekend. Let me pray for us. Oh, our Father in heaven, you who exist outside of time, you know that we exist in time. And so we come as frail creatures, and we come and we ask that you would humble us before your word. You'd help us to see our frailties, our need of you. I pray that you'd open our eyes this weekend to the opportunities that are before us, to obey you by honoring your word as we ourselves age, and honor those who you have given to us as they age. Lord, I pray that for each one of us individually, that you would cast out a vision by your Spirit in our hearts, in our minds, for how you would use each one of us for the remainder of our days. Lord, draw us to be worshipers like David here, to be a blessing to all those around us. Encourage us with your truth. Delight us with the wisdom that you bring to us this weekend. And Lord, embolden us to take action by your Spirit for the glory of your Son in all things. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, Jim.
I thought the only reason Ted asked me to do this is because I'm old now. But anyway, what we're going to do, as Ted said, is we're going to spend some time in the next couple of days, this evening, tomorrow morning, giving attention to various aspects of aging and caregiving, and they go hand in hand. It is the issues of aging that give rise to the need for caregiving, and then that presents us with a very interesting, complicated mix, if you will. How many of you are involved in caregiving right now? Okay. So I'm preaching to the choir for the most part. Most commonly, caregiving has to do with aging parents, it is something that the Christian is concerned to do because they're concerned to honor their father and mother, as the Scripture calls us to do. Most every one of you has had a father and mother, right, along the way, yeah. So the subject is relevant to us, and you're here obviously because the subject is relevant to you, and so I hope that we will be able to deal with some of the issues that that you're going to have to deal with either in your own life as you grow older or as you minister to someone who is dealing with those issues. It's not my intention to answer all the questions that you may have regarding what do I do with mom and dad, okay? Those are all individual and unique situations. What our intent here is these next couple of days is simply to look at what's going on in the mind and heart of the believer as they age and the conditions that arise from that, and then as we come alongside to assist them. It was in the fall of 2010 when I was on staff here that was asked to do an Equip You class, 8 weeks on caring for aging parents, caring for the elderly, ministering to the elderly and their caregivers. And it was because of what I heard myself saying and what I had come through in studying that Jan and I started to give thought to her mother. Jan's dad had passed away a couple years prior to that. Her mother lived alone back on Cape Cod. And over the course of several months, it became apparent that that her mom was physically becoming more needy. And we realized that we had opportunity to make a significant difference in the quality of her life for however many years the Lord gave her. And it was a hard decision for us to make. We hated to leave this church, but the Lord had just impressed upon us the need to do that. So July of 2011, we moved back to Cape Cod, and we moved in with Jan's mom. Interestingly enough, after being there for several months, we realized that her physical needs weren't as drastic as she had presented. She was more lonely than anything else. But we had made the commitment, and there we were. And the Lord used that in a lot of ways, and I'm not going to go into all the details. I understood what I taught in that lesson. I understood the theory behind it. I'd read all the books and had done enough counseling to know something of what was going on, but it wasn't until we were immersed in that environment and that situation that the reality of this issue became apparent to us. No exaggeration, but the 5.5 years we spent with Jan's mom presented us with some of the most difficult spiritual struggles that we had faced as Christians. So this is one of those things, if you're not involved in it, on the caregiving side, you won't appreciate it, all right? It's like trying to explain marriage to in a premarital class, okay? I'm convinced that premarital counseling is, they don't hear a word you say, okay? They don't. We're never going to argue, you know. Anyway, unless you're involved in it, you don't really get the meat of it. But here's the other thing. We're going to spend tonight looking at the process of getting older, all right? And I don't see Benjamin Button here, so we're all getting older, okay? So you have an outline. I didn't give you anything in the outline except a rough outline. I'm going to try and follow that outline as close as I can. And you can put notes on the back of those pages if you will. So why would we bother to do this kind of a conference? First of all, there's a need, and the first thing that we're going to address is the aging process, and the issues that arise from that process. If we think seriously about what the aging process entails and what kinds of things we might encounter, we can be prepared for them. And to be forewarned is to be forearmed, and that's especially true as Christians. So we need to take some time and think through these kinds of issues. The second reason that we'd bother to do this kind of a conference and why we would consider it profitable to engage in this kind of a discussion is because there is a true need. The need is because God will place in our path those people who will need care, typically because they're aging, but it may be for other reasons as well. So the focus is on the elderly, and all of us age. I don't know if you know this or not, but Mickey Mouse turns 90 this year, okay? November 18th, Steamboat Willie was first made available. So that was Mickey Mouse's introduction. So he's 90 years old. Sometimes God intervenes, takes people out of this world, takes his people home early, but for most of us, there's going to be a process of decline that we identify as the aging process. And most of us are going to get to the point where we will need some kind of assistance in one form or another. And we'll need someone to help us. The world's view of aging is something that we have to be careful to not allow into our thinking. We live in a time and a place where aging is viewed as something to be avoided at all costs. Even the medical community seems to be afraid to openly discuss some of the issues that you're going to face as you go along and certain conditions arise. Typically, they'll tell you just what you need to know at the moment. And that doesn't help you to prepare for what's coming down the road. They make general references to things, and we hear general references to things, but I doubt your doctor has sat you down and had a long heart-to-heart talk with, this is what you should expect. Given who you are, given your situation, here's how I see the next 10 years unfolding for you, okay? I don't know why they don't do that, probably because most people don't want to hear that and would find another doctor, but we need to be thinking about that. Our world thinks that aging is bad. Everything must be done to avoid it at all costs. And it seems that everywhere we turn these days, there are products, there are people promoting systems whereby you can avoid growing older. Exercise, vitamins, diets, all kinds of other practices and products. There's a company out there, I'm not going to mention the name because it's being taped, but you can look them up. They advertise this, 100% personalized, physician-developed age defiance, okay? And their website promotes their age management products and their anti-aging clinic, all right? Well, guess what? It's not going to stop people from aging, okay? It might make you feel a little better about yourself. It might improve your health a little bit, but you can't avoid getting older. It's part of the process. One of the dangers, Paul addresses the Christian's susceptibility or the Christians falling into the pattern of the thinking of the world in Romans 12:2, when he tells us, do not be conformed to the age. Do not be conformed to the way this world thinks about things. Think differently about them, and we need to think differently about what it means to grow older and the kinds of things that we're going to encounter along the way. The unbelieving world doesn't think like God thinks, and the Christian has to learn to think like God thinks, not like the old man, not like the world, and then put on those practices that are consistent with that kind of thinking, and that certainly applies to the issue of aging and the issue of caregiving. There is a biblical view of aging. Ted alluded to, there are things in Scripture that point us to something of God's thinking regarding the aging process, and it's very different from the world's thinking. We begin to age from the moment of conception. God promised Adam that in the day he sinned, he would die, and that's a slow process. The human body was created by God to last forever, but the consequence of sin is that we age and eventually this body ceases to function. And the Bible speaks openly and directly to the issue. It's, you know, if we refuse to consider the fact that we're aging or refuse to consider what this stage of life is all about, then we miss a time whereby we might enjoy the grace of God in new and different ways. And that's a sad thing. The Bible speaks of those who are mature in a very positive way. Proverbs 16:31 says, "A gray head is a crown of glory. It's found in the way of righteousness." Now, Leviticus 19:32, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your Lord, your God. I am the Lord." So God speaks positively of aging. He promises long life to those who honor their parents. We're going to take more time with that a little later on. We're told in Deuteronomy 34:7 that although Moses was 120 years old when he died, his eye was not dim nor his vigor abated. And that it begins with although Moses was 120 years. And the point is that's a very unnatural thing. All right? It's a very unnatural thing to be 120 years old and not have your eye dim or your vigor abated. Solomon speaks of this somewhat at length in Ecclesiastes. He speaks of those days toward the end of our life, the where we're older, as the dark days, because there'll be many, he says, in Ecclesiastes 11. He said the prime of life is fleeting, it's passing. And then he says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth before the evil days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no delight in them.' Before the sun, the light, the moon, the stars are dark, and the clouds return after the rain. In that day," one of the advantages, I have about 12 pairs of these, okay? And I have them scattered all over the place, because I never remember to take them with me. And we go into a restaurant, and restaurants are dark. They don't give you lights. They put this little candle in the middle of the table, like that's going to be a help. We were out the other night. I didn't have my glasses, and I said to Jan, "Well, this looks interesting. What does this say?" She said, "Page 3." I didn't order that. Anyway. As I was saying, reading Ecclesiastes, there's going to be days where we have no delight in them. He says, "The day that the watchmen of the house tremble, the mighty men stoop, the grinding ones stand idle because they are few, and those who look through the windows grow dim, and the doors on the street are shut at the sound of the grinding mill is low, and one will arise at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song will sing softly. Furthermore, men will be afraid of high places and the terrors on the road. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags himself along. The caperberry is ineffective, for man goes to his eternal home while mourners go about in the street." God speaks to the issues of old age, and he says, those days are coming. There's nothing wrong with those. Those days are coming, but understand and be prepared for them in your youth. That's the whole thrust of this passage, is don't waste your youth avoiding thinking about those days, anticipate those days, understand what those days are going to be, and then be spiritually prepared to deal with them. Several places in the Bible, the issue of honoring parents is raised, and we think of Joseph, we think of Ruth, God's requirement on us to care for parents is very pointed and direct, and we'll see more of that as we get further along in our session here. We're going to deal with the issues that we face in fulfilling the responsibility for caregiving tomorrow. But a few things to touch on this evening kind of set the stage, and that is, why would we bother doing this in the first place? And that's a question that most people answer with, well, I'm not going to bother doing it. Right? I'm not going to put myself out. I'm not going to spend the time, the money, and the effort to do that. But when it comes to the matter of why the Christian would want to do this or choose to do this, our motive for everything we do as Christians has to be that we do it because it's pleasing to the Lord. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. 2 Corinthians 5:9, therefore we have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. Everything that we do has to be measured against, is it pleasing to him? We know that it's pleasing to God and that it is for his glory that children honor their parents, because that's commanded over and over and over in Scripture. We have the repeated command in Scripture to love one another. It's the fulfillment of the law. So it is pleasing to God and to his glory, and it is in obedience to God's will that we demonstrate the love of Christ to those that God brings into our path who are in this condition of requiring help, assistance, who are needy. Now, a caveat here. I want to be careful that I don't give the impression that if you don't move in with your parents or have your parents move in with you, that you're not a Christian. Okay, that's not the issue. The issue is the issue has to do with how do you do for your parents in such a way that you fulfill your responsibility toward them and at the same time do what is best for them. My mother's in a nursing home in Michigan, and she's there because she was in assisted living a year and a half ago. She fell four times, I think, in that time. Each time she fell, she took a very clear downward step in cognitive ability. She just never came back. And she's at a point now where we saw her a few weeks ago. She recognized us. We could have a pleasant conversation, but it was obvious that she wasn't really aware of what was going on. And the assisted living said she can't stay in this environment because it's unsafe for her. Okay, because she would get up in the night and go walking around. So she's in a nursing home. She's there because that is, at this point in her life, that is the very best place for her. It's the safest, and it's the place that where her needs are going to be met to the greatest degree possible. So I don't want you to come away with thinking that you have to take your parents in. What you do have to do is you have to be mindful of their need and be addressing that need and dealing with that need as they progress through the stages of life. So we need to take a look at some of the issues concerning aging. Before we get to caregiving, we have to look at why is it necessary, and we're going to do that from the perspective of you thinking about yourself as you grow older and your life changes. We had an opportunity. Jan's mom was in the nursing home from November until March, when the Lord took her home. Prior to that, from May to November, she was in assisted living. Over the course of that time, we had opportunity to interact with many individuals involved in elder care, and particularly hospice. And we interviewed a hospice nurse. We had her come to our house for dinner, and we said, we want to pick your brain. We want to understand, are the things that we're perceiving, are the things that we're seeing, are these common or is this unusual? And it turns out, What we were dealing with and what we were looking at are all the things that she listed as very common. So, you know, there will be unique situations because we're unique individuals, but for the most part, we're going to see a similarity in many of these issues. You know, have you ever sat down and thought about what am I going to do when I can't hear anymore, if the Lord should let that happen? What am I going to do when my eyesight gets to the point that I can't get around on my own? You know, what am I going to do when my kids say, you can't drive anymore? Okay, that's going to be an interesting day. Okay, I've started preparing for that, but I know my own heart, and I need a lot more time to prepare for that. All right. But the point is, we need to do that, okay? You need to sit down and you need to think through some of these things, because these things are going to happen to all of us, and so we need to be prepared for them. We need to be prepared to deal with the side effects, if you will, of growing older, the issues that come with aging. What should we expect? Nobody wants to think about it. Nobody likes the idea of getting older. People try to deny it's going to happen to them, but it is. We'd much rather just wait until it happens and then try to deal with it then. That's a very dangerous way to live as a Christian, because in that moment, the temptation will be great, and the potential is much greater for you to respond in an ungodly way than a godly way, which you are more inclined to do if you've had time to think through and anticipate what's going to happen and how you'll deal with it. Two advantages to thinking through this. By giving careful thought to the reality of our own aging, and by understanding the spiritual issues that we're going to face as we become less dependent and our bodies begin to fail us, is that we can prepare ourselves so that we can grow spiritually from the process. We're going to take some more time and talk about how all that works out. And secondly, we can make it much easier on those that the Lord has graciously put in our life to help us in those times of need, our caregivers. It'll be a lot easier on us. It'll be a lot easier on them if we understand and deal honestly with the aging process, both from the physical as well as the spiritual perspective. And I would just say at this point that all of the issues that you face as a Christian are spiritual, but we're gonna break them down. We're gonna look at changes that occur, and we're gonna look at three areas for the sake of discussion: gradual changes, sometimes imperceptible changes, but these changes are gonna eventually put us in the place where we need care. These are the three headings that we're gonna look at are the physical issues, relational issues, relationships, if you will, and then emotional/spiritual issues. All right. I see everybody looking through their notes. We'll deal with those headings as we go here. Emotional/spiritual. Our emotional responses to our circumstances indicate our spiritual condition in that moment. And again, I'm just kind of setting some things out here. We'll deal with them. We'll deal with them as we go. We'll respond to the physical changes and the relational changes emotionally, and that is spiritual, and that is something that we should be prepared to deal with. I've given you a list of resources, and you don't have to look there now. One of the books that is on that list is by Ashton Oxenden, and it's A Happy Old Age. He says, this life is a life of trials. Who is there altogether free from them? We must expect them. We must be ready to meet them when they come. Sometimes they cluster so thickly around us that we need a stout heart and much grace to bear them meekly and to pass through them unhurt. Let us talk about those trials that belong to old age. Perhaps we shall find ourselves all the better for saying a few words about them. Then he goes into listing some of the things that we will deal with as we age. I'm not following his chapter on that precisely here, but all of the books that you read, all of the references that you read, will point you in the same direction and speak of these issues. They might put them under different headings, but it's pretty much all the same. So, but he did recognize that we need to be prepared as we age for what might come. We met a man several years ago now. He was in his 80s. He came to measure carpet, because I was thinking about having new carpet put in one of the rooms. And he just stated point blank, I'm never going to get sick. I'm never going to get old. I'm just going to keep going, you know? Like, he was in charge of that, you know? I have no idea where he is now or what his condition is, but he is going to come to the end of his energy, the end of his strength, one way or the other. It'll be different for each of us. It'll be unique to each of us. But there are some things that we can expect. There are some things that we can anticipate. There are some things we can plan for. And so we can be ready to meet those spiritual issues head on. First thing we want to talk about is physical issues. And for most of you in this room, I probably don't have to go into a lot of detail about the fact that as you get older, you can't do physically what you used to do. This isn't an exhaustive list by any means, but I want to look at the physical things that go on, and again, so that when it happens, I can say, oh, okay, I thought about this. I'm prepared for this. Here's how I'm going to handle it. The first one is loss of control. That's kind of a broad subject, or loss of independence, if you will. We should expect at some point along the way that we're going to begin to lose control. Men, that happened to you the day you got married, but that's another conference. Okay, we'll save that for another time. But we are going to become less and less independent and more dependent. It'll be a slow, gradual process for most of us. Now, sometimes there may be a stroke or a heart attack or some kind of accident or something that brings that on all at once. But for the most part, typically, it's going to happen gradually, where we become more and more dependent, which makes it more difficult to deal with, because if it happens instantly, we can know where we were and where we are. When it happens gradually, sometimes it's imperceptible, and so it's hard to see how we're responding to those new circumstances. Most of the people that we care about, or most of the people who care most about us, are going to observe things that present a danger. And they're going to raise those issues and offer what they consider to be necessary and helpful suggestions. All right? Rarely are those suggestions taken with the attitude of, oh, I'm so glad you pointed that out. I never thought about that. I never thought my driving was becoming erratic. Oh, you were so gracious to tell me that. Isn't that wonderful? That's not how the scene goes, by the way, okay? When we're told that we're not able to do something or that we need assistance doing something, when we're starting to lose our dependence, when someone tells us, you know, somebody really needs to go to the doctor with you because I don't think you understood what the doctor explained to you last time you were there, right? It's no, I'm fine, I can do that. Well, it's that loss of control, that loss of independence is one of these areas that has an infinite number of variations on the theme, but it's there. It's hard to imagine what that day is going to be like, but unless the Lord intervenes, that day is coming. And we talk about the issue of not being able to drive, because in our culture, in our day, that is huge. That is the That is a true loss of independence when we can no longer get ourselves around, because then we have to rely on people to do everything for us, grocery shopping and errands and all kinds of other things that we would have done ourselves. So under the physical issues, the first thing is major heading, loss of control. The second is loss of physical abilities. And this is where we'll see change taking place. Areas, hearing, vision, balance, strength, those kinds of things are gradually going to diminish over time, typically, okay? They may be subtle, but they will become more pronounced as time progresses. Hearing is the number one issue. One in six people will have hearing loss to the point that it severely, adversely affects their lifestyle. Four out of five people will have some form of hearing loss, okay? And the primary cause for hearing loss is aging, all right? So you can anticipate that if you are getting older, all right, which most of you are, then you are going to experience something of a hearing loss over time. I mentioned the eyeglasses and the fact that our eyes don't work the way they used to work. We can't lift the things that we used to lift. This is a particular problem for men because it's a reflection on our manhood. When I can't pick up that whatever it was I used to pick up and walk around with, I can't do that anymore. I got to figure out another way to do it. We've got a 17 foot 4 inch canoe, all right, an old town canoe. Oh, you guys are familiar with it. You used it for a while. We went out in the canoe actually a couple weeks ago for the first time in 2 years because between the two of us we haven't been able to get it on top of the car. And in fact, I've been on YouTube looking at all kinds of contraptions, catapults, and drop it from the garage roof, and all kinds of things. How you get the canoe on top of the car? And finally, I built the little thing that works. But it's a struggle. It used to be I would pick it up and put it on top of the car. You know, well, those days are gone. Things drop to the floor tend to stay on the floor. Okay. I am convinced that as you get older, your legs get longer, okay? Because the floor gets farther and farther away. And the issue is if you get down there, then you're stuck with, well, Neil Sedaka made the song famous, didn't he? Getting up is hard to do? Is that, yeah. Well, then I saw on a website where they said, your life expectancy can be measured by how you are able to get up off the floor from a sitting position, okay, without using anything around you to be able to get up from a full sitting position. That's a measure of your life expectancy. So I did the little test that they had. Turns out I died 2 years ago. But those are the kinds of things. it's comical to see the two of us with something on the floor trying to get up. Anyway, we don't have YouTube of that, so don't be looking for it. All of these things, we're laughing, but all of these things are issues that will cause us to respond emotionally. They will result in an emotional response, and there, that's a reflection of the what's going on in us spiritually, and it's the spiritual aspects of aging that we have to be most concerned about, because that's the one area where we can make a difference. I can't change the fact that every day I get a day older. I can change how I respond to the circumstances that arise as a result of becoming one day older. We can't stop the outer man from decaying, but we can cooperate with God's work of renewing the inner man day by day. And that's what this is all about. That's what I want to leave you with when we're done here. The outer man decaying is something we can't do anything about. the inner man being renewed day by day is a work of God, but it's also something that we cooperate with, we participate in. And the inner man being renewed day by day continues as long as we're in this flesh. It doesn't stop. You don't retire from being a Christian at 65 or 66 or whatever the age is, 70 or 80 or 90. It doesn't matter. We need to be continually working at that. So anyway, so we have under physical issues, loss of control, loss of physical abilities. Another area is loss of friends, all right, social interaction. This is particularly hard for most elderly people because as they get older, they begin to lose more and more of their friends. And God will see us through those difficult times, but again, it's something we need to think about. As the number of our friends, especially those with whom we're very close, diminishes, what we experience is the loss of social interaction. So where once our lives are filled with dear friends, you have so many people that you're involved with that you could be going every day of the week if you wanted to with different people doing different things. As you age, it becomes a smaller and smaller number until at some point you're left by yourself. And we were having coffee the other day with a couple, and he's 93, and he's reading a book on loneliness. Now, he and his wife are doing great. You would never know he was that old. But he was talking about his neighborhood, and he was talking about the people around, and he said, there are so many people out there who are all alone, okay? And he's trying to figure out how he can minister to them. He said, the problem is most of them are women, and I have to be careful, you know, where I go and what I do. But the point is that's a factor. Jan's mom had a friend who saw her every day, just about every day. They would speak to each other 9 o'clock in the morning and 7:30 at night, every day. And her friend drove. She was quite a bit younger. And this was Jan's mom's social outlet. Okay, this was, she went to lunch with the girls, and her friend would go get a sandwich, and they'd go down to the beach, and this was her friend. And one morning she called her friend at 9 o'clock, and there was no answer, and she called 9:15, and no answer, and 9:30, no answer, and 9:45, no answer, and turns out her friend, 7:30 the night before, talked to her mom, made herself a cup of coffee, sat down in her chair and had a massive heart attack and died. Well, the impact on Jan's mom was significant. And we knew the relationship, obviously, but I don't know that we really appreciated the loss that her mom felt at that. And chances are we're all going to go through those kinds of things. And we may end up being more or less alone. I mean, you can be alone with a lot of people around. So this loss of friends, loss of social interaction is something that we have to be prepared for. There's a loss of health, and it doesn't matter. We touched on some of those with hearing and eyesight. God's not going to deal with you as he dealt with Moses, all right? First of all, you're probably not going to make it to 120. And if you do, you're probably not going to have your eyes not dim and your vigor unabated. One of the things that if you spend time with, I want to be careful how I say this, okay? I got in trouble. We were in a group of people and they're talking about older people and referencing this particular man. And his wife got really, really upset at the idea that I would call her old, okay? So it's want to be careful how we address the this particular issue. I was having a conversation with somebody, and I was talking about this older gentleman, and this older gentleman did this and that and the other, and then I realized that guy's younger than I am. Yeah, the older gentleman is younger than me. Oh, dear. Anyway, in the aging process, it seems that the issues of health, and we're going to take some more time with this too down the road, but become more and more significant to the point where that's all that people have to talk about. Okay, if you can't drive, and you don't have any friends, all right, and you're confined to the house, and somebody shows up and they say, "How are you doing?" Well, let me tell you how I'm doing. Okay, I've had this operation, I've had that surgery, I have this problem, I have that problem. And that's where the discussion goes. Derek Thomas, in a video series that he was doing on the Book of Job, made a comment. He said, quote, "I recently heard someone say, if you have your health, you have everything." And then he quickly followed up and said, "That's a lie." Okay, if you have your health, you don't have everything. If you have Christ, you have everything. And you don't have to have your health to have everything. That's the world's thinking, and that's simply not true. God has a measure of health for each of us, and we need to be content with whatever that is. If we don't have Christ, then we don't have anything, and no matter what kind of health we have, it will only serve us for a short time. Poor health can cause us to be miserable physically, but it must be viewed from God's perspective, and the true child of God will do so and see in it a work of God in their life and see it in a more positive way. Another area of problem is loss of mental abilities, and this is the one that we most typically associate with aging. There are 9 different kinds of dementia. Everybody thinks if you forget something, you've got Alzheimer's. That's not true. There are 9 different kinds of dementia. Write this down. There's a woman, Teepa Snow, T-E-E-P-A, Snow, S-N-O-W. She's on YouTube. She's a doctor. She's done some of the best stuff we've seen on dementia and dealing with dementia and the effects of dementia and all of that, and you can Google her and find out more about that. But you know, the brain is just like every other part of the body. The brain doesn't work as good as your legs used to work. You know what I mean? When the legs stop working as good as they used to, the brain also suffers. It's just part of aging. Things just don't work. The outer man is wasting away, and that includes the brain. So we find it more difficult to do things physically as we grow older, and we should expect that that's going to happen to us mentally. And that certainly there are diseases that exacerbate that condition, and Alzheimer's is probably the most common. A second major area, so those are some of the physical areas. A second major area, relationship issues. We touched on that a little bit with loss of friends, but all through the course of our life, our relationships with other people are in a dynamic process. There's a variety of relationships that come into play when needing care or being a caregiver. And all of these are subject to change. And through the structure of the relationship, parent-child, husband-wife, sibling, friends, etc., may not drastically change, since your parents will always be your parents and your children will always be your children and your siblings will always be your siblings and your spouse will always be your spouse, no matter how old you are. Yet the nature of those relationships will, in fact, change. We grow up under our parents' supervision, and we are under our parents' supervision until we reach adulthood. And at that point, we become independent. At least that's the idea. And at that point, we are making our own life decisions. We're deciding where we go, what we do, how we do things. And when we reach that point of independence, we just naturally assume that this is the way it's going to be forever. But That's not necessarily the way it's going to be forever. You know, we decide who we're going to spend time with. We decide with whom we will be good friends. We decide what kinds of things we want to do or don't want to do. And as we become less dependent, sometimes less dependent as a result of the issues of aging, we're going to find that the nature of our relationships with others begins to change. And we can be prepared for that as well. The parent-child relationship is one of those. If we're looking at, our focus this evening is on aging and the fact that we're going to need care, but that presupposes that there are caregivers, and so the issue of caregiving certainly is mixed in here. The relationship between parent-child is one that is going to experience probably the most dramatic change in most people's lives. We grow from infancy to adulthood, and that's a very slow and gradual process. The process of aging moves us from being totally independent to a state of being dependent, and that typically is involving the parent and child. And so the roles become reversed. Most likely, we will end up under the care of one of our children. In fact, they say if you don't have three daughters, you're going to the nursing home. Okay? We have two boys, so we're already packed. But typically, that's what it is. It's the daughter. Sometimes a daughter-in-law, but typically a daughter who is taking care of an elderly parent. And in that scenario, the relationship of parent-child is actually reversed from what it was when we started out. We begin life as totally dependent beings and rely on our parents to provide what we need to survive, and for many of the elderly who have become dependent, it's their children, particularly a single child, who takes on the responsibility of providing what's necessary for life. And we'll see how God uses that as we go. Friends, we touched on that a little bit. The relationship with friends will change because our friends gradually grow older themselves, and we have less and less opportunity to spend time with them. We begin to lose our friends. It's very difficult for people to make new friends, which it shouldn't be, but it seems that way. And so we can prepare for that. We can be thinking about how will you handle those kinds of circumstances if and when the Lord puts you in that situation. Are you just going to close yourself off, or are you going to make an effort to make friends? The other aspect of relationships, or another area of relationships, is with strangers. When you're independent, you choose who is going to be involved in your life, who's going to be in your inner circle, who's going to be doing what with you or you doing with them. When you become dependent, you don't have that choice, okay? You have people coming in to your home who are strangers, who are coming to take care of you in ways that are the most, personal and difficult ways you can imagine, and aging increases the number of those people that get involved in our lives. Our caregivers are not always the people with whom we are very familiar or who we care about. We're not free to choose those. Sometimes you'll have people come into your life that you enjoy being with, and sometimes you'll have people come into your life that you simply would prefer were not there, but yet you need what they have to offer, and so you're pretty much stuck with them. There was a point where we needed to bring in outside help, and we went to an agency, and Jan's mom said, one of her primary criteria was that they had to be a Red Sox fan, okay? Jan's mom watched all the baseball games. She knew everybody's stats, everybody's scores. She could tell you who was pitching, what their ERA was. She knew, she had it all down. The first woman that came in, this is a pleasant discussion, and then the issue comes up. So what do you think about the Red Sox? And this woman said, well, let me tell you this. I have two dogs. One is named Big Poppy, and the other is Mookie Betts. Okay, now, you people don't know baseball out here because you're not from Boston, but Big Poppy was Big Poppy, and Mookie Betts is still Mookie Betts. They're baseball players. I'm losing this crowd. Okay, anyway. But the point is there was instant acceptance, okay? So her mother said, this is the greatest woman in the world, you know? Anyway, so relationships, dealing with strangers. Then the last area, which is probably the most important, but is tied in with all of these others because it flows out of all of these others, are the emotional and spiritual issues. And we're going to see that the spiritual issues that arise out of the aging process and that we face as elderly are not new issues. They're common areas of sin. They show up in the life of all believers from time to time. Some will struggle with certain areas more than others, but the fact remains that these are common to all of us. And we're going to see that it's a matter of God using particular circumstances in the aging process to bring to the surface these remaining issues where our thinking is not consistent with his thinking, where we're still functioning conformed to the world, Romans 12:2. We're still operating as the old man would have operated. And God will bring those issues to the surface, and then we have a chance to deal with them. And as we deal with them, that's the process of sanctification. We want to look at where these matters are present in our life and begin to seriously deal with them according to God's word. And we're not going to do that extensively. I hope to lay out some tools for you, some ideas, some paths to follow. It's almost impossible to separate the emotional from the spiritual because they're both a function of the mind, the heart. They're what we think. In fact, many of the issues that we would classify under the heading of emotions are dealt with in God's word as spiritual issues, which shouldn't surprise us. The elderly are not immune to these kinds of emotions, and in fact, maybe more susceptible to them in some ways than people who are in good health and in the prime of life. Things like fear, worry or anxiety, impatience, resentment, anger, frustration, bitterness, self-centeredness, self-seeking. Certainly not an exhaustive list, but you get the idea. These are some of the things that we're going to deal with, and we're going to look at what these spiritual responses are, how they affect us, and how we should look at them as Christians, and how we should deal with them as Christians, and we'll do that in our next section. Ashton Oxenden, in his book, A Happy Old Age, talks about the joys of old age, and he asks, is it possible to even be happy in old age? He goes through a whole section of asking questions along that line. And then he said, what is it then that will make us truly happy? The grace of God is the one thing which can bring peace to the soul. Oh, what a happiness to know that he is your father and your friend, to be able to look up and feel that he is yours and you are his. This is happiness. That in order to do that, we have to be spiritually minded. We have to be deliberately thinking about things in a way that's consistent with what God has revealed in Scripture. He speaks a little further on in that chapter, the joys of old age, and he says, knowing God's grace, that's one thing. Take a bright view of everything, determine to be content, and try to live above the world. And those are all spiritual principles. They're in general, and we'll deal with the specifics when we get to further along in the process. We're going to take a break. Okay, we'll take 10 minutes. Is that all right? And then we'll come back and we'll look at how do we deal with the spiritual issues of aging. We've raised a whole bunch of issues. How do we now deal with them? Okay, so we'll just take a break.